What a weekend in store. Thank you very much for joining us here on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Kennelly and Ruby once again is with me. And this time I'm back in Wicklow. I don't have to host from my car in a car park in Naas. Thank you very much, County Kildare Internet. And Frank Hickey is back as well. Ruby, you felt the pressure a little bit with just myself and yourself. You weren't able to give us the full gamut of form. I think you were feeling a little bit without Frank.
Well, yeah, I was under pressure, yeah, without Frank. You know, I just couldn't quite go back far enough. The Bishop's Cork Cup, I definitely didn't do enough homework on that. So that was a loss for our listeners. But Frank Hickey is back. We do have a 3 mile, 6 furlong chase at Punchestown. He'll definitely have one in that. That won a race back in, you know, probably before Ballybrook or Bidge arrived around. But look, yeah, it's great to have you back, Frank.
God, that was amazing. A 15-year-old winning, wasn't it?
Incredible.
Good amazing well. Feel-good story, unless you backed Sing Banjo. Like that.
Or call it magic.
I was on a fancy, well, relatively nice prices. And and he was nearly brought down as well.
He was.
But you were delighted anyway, Frank. You know the one everyone else...
that's it. Like, who cares about my pocket? It's all it's all about the romance.
I was there. 14-1 shot. He got a fair reception. There was admiration for him at 15 years of age. And for Peter Marr.
To be fair.
Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins done it. We'd be singing from the rafters. So fair play to Peter Marr.
Yeah. He was good crack.
Brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah, we had him on the pod last year. He was very, very good fun, I must say. I think he had to get the daughter to set up the phone line and stuff, like one of those kind of old school gentlemen. But
we've all had to do that, PK, from time to time. So I'm not going to slag him for that one.
That's it. Like, you have to remember, like, at some stage I'll probably be 70 having to get Oliver to do stuff for me. Do you know what I mean? It's in like, how do you use this new technology?
70.
I'm 42. I'm 42, I'm Frank. Can I have them doing it for me? So, I mean,
to be honest, I am probably a big price to get to 70. Let's be honest. So.
No, I was saying, no. When you get to 70, I'd say that Oliver will have helped you out a few more things by then. But fair play if you can still keep on top of things by 70. A couple of things before we get cracking on a brilliant weekend that featured, obviously, by the 2000 Guineas on the final day of Punchestown. If you haven't seen a really good video on the Paddy Power social channels of the lads are in New York, I assume for the Katie Taylor fight, but they've got the locals to have a look at who's going to win the big Paddy Power sponsored Irish Champion Hurdle. And they all fancy the same horse. Ah, he's going to win. Honeysuckle. Ah, he is the best. He's the champ. It's very good. It's very good. It's classic New York anyway.
Can someone tell me how I get a job in this department?
I know.
The same thing crossed my mind, Frank. Yeah. What section have we been excluded from?
Yeah. Oh, they're going to Katie Taylor's fight in New York. And like, yeah, we're going. Yeah.
Well, they might be outside Katie Taylor's. I'm not
they didn't actually get in. They're only gone to New York. Oh, the poor things.
I know. And there was me hosting a podcast from a car park in Naas during the week. It's not quite the same, is it?
No,
not
worry, PK. We'll get there yet.
Fingers crossed. We'll say all the right things. Which
Melbourne Cup, PK. Yeah, we'll have to do it live from Melbourne.
I think
live from Flemington.
I have an in there now. Okay, that you planted the seed for sure. Live at 3 a.m. I'm sure lots of listeners.
No. Right, we'll be in Melbourne now.
Oh yeah, well yeah,
we'll be in the Crown Casino live. The listeners can listen.
It's a big casino for anyone who's seen it or hasn't been to Melbourne. My God, it's been half the city. We do have a lot of racing to get through, folks. So we're going to rattle through the best of both worlds. But for me, it's all about the 2000 Guineas. Sorry, Ruby. It is all about 2000 Guineas. And what a Guineas. And we'll get to that. So we'll start with the ITV racing and then we'll get to Punchestown. Let's start with the 150. It's a 6 furlong handicap live on ITV. My goodness, it's an open one. At the time, recording 7-1. Run to Freedom is the favourite, not to be mistaken with Path to Freedom for Peter Marr, who was a little bit disappointing at Punchestown earlier this week, but he still managed to win the race, Peter Fahey, should say. 15-2, Azjad, First Folio, 8-1. That's been backed. 17-2, Strike Red, 9-1, Jumbie. I'm sure there's going to be extra places abound. I think we might be going 6, Frank, in this.
I think so, yeah. I wasn't paying attention yesterday when the extra place were being sent, so.
Busy. You didn't send the mail then. All right, go on.
Didn't send the mail. No. Niall took care of that yesterday.
Who wins the 150 at Newmarket?
Oh, it's piece of piss really, isn't it, this race? it's very, very competitive. But I did come down on the side of First Folio. Race in France is a 2-year-old, switched to James Ferguson last year. He won a Yarmouth handicap off of Mark of 80, won 2 starts later at York. off a mark of 90 in a competitive three-year-old sprint. He didn't go on soft ground in the Stewards' Cup consolation race, finished a close fourth at Newmarket in the July course off 98, and then followed that up with a half a length fourth in York off 97. That form is working out well already this season. The winner has just touched off the Newmarket handicap a few weeks ago, and the second's won twice already. There were a host of subsequent winners in behind as well. Ferguson's Yard are red hot at the moment. They had four winners from seven runners, 57% strike rate. Fast ground really suits, and I think he's a really solid each way chance. I think we're ducking him a little bit, but I think we're eight, and there's as big as tens. It would look fairly solid each way.
We were 12s, and that's all gone. First folio now, 8-1 at the time of recording. Piece of piss, Ruby Walsh.
I don't know about that, but I thought Strike Red, and I'm probably not the only one that thought Strike Red, was unlucky behind Gale Force Maya at Newmarket in April. Slowly away, was almost on last two down, didn't get a clear run, wasn't knocked about, was definitely one to put in the notebook for me, and he crops up here at Newmarket again. So Strike Red drawn and stall 20, Paddy Mathers and Richard Fay.
Strike Red, first folio, the two against the field, wide open with the extra places abound. We move on to the big money back race online. Money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth in the 225. It's a handicap over the course and distance of the Cambridgeshire, and Fast Medicine in a pretty open race is 5-2 favourite. It's 7-2 for Tahabi for the all-conquering Charlie Appy, William Buick, but not seen in some time, a couple of seasons, this one. 11-2 move in time, the top weight for Roger Varian, and Harry Davies, an up-and-coming young apprentice who seems to be making waves in the UK. Notre Bell Bet is 15-2. It's 8-1 Forest Falcon and Turntable and 11's Bar. Okay, Mr. Walsh, money back race 225, the Suffolk Stakes.
Yeah, look, obviously the delay off 567 days for Dahabi would definitely be of concern. But that said, on his last start, he was 3-1 ruler. So that's pretty solid form. And he's the one I'm going to side. But the concern for the top horse move in time would be his last run back in the last season. They didn't claim off him first time out this year. Harry Davis has taken 7 off his back. To me, does that mean Roger Varian thinks he's maxed out? Probably does. So I'm going to go with Dahabi. Fast Medicine's a short enough price favourite, but I'm going to take a chance on Charlie Appleby having Dahabi fit enough.
3.1 million guineas that a horse cost. Frank Hickey?
Look, Fast Medicine's favourite. He bolted up at Nottingham on his reappearance. He's £6 well in under the £5 penalty, but that was only a Class 4 event. It's a completely different kettle of fish, so I'd be taking him on, and I'd look at moving time a little bit differently to Ruby. He carries top weight, but he bolted up in a maiden here last May, beating Kamari went on to win the Queen's Vase at Royal Ascot. Is rated 109 moving time. He was only sent off 92 for the Hampton Court Stakes. He was fifth that day, a little bit disappointing. He was fourth at Listed Level at Newbury. He's been gelded since. Harry Davis claiming 7 off, I looked at it as a positive. He's stealing 7. He's very good. I think, you know, he's the new next best thing. And I think dropping into handicap will suit. Fast ground, no problem, I don't think. Roger Varian, again, stringer in decent form. He's 5 winners and 28 runners in the last 2 weeks. And moving time with Harry Davis, I hadn't looked at this race until this morning, and I was a bit surprised that he's as big as 13-2. I'd be surprised if he's that price come Saturday morning.
No surprise, we're ducking him slightly, 11-2. So Dahabi and moving time for Ruby and Frank, respectively. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock. This is the Palace House Stakes. It's a Group 3 sprint, but we're going to go 4 places as long as we get the requisite amount of runners. And perhaps surprisingly, Twilight Calls, who won a handicap last night, is the favourite in this Group 3, but looks to be a progressive animal. 11-4 favourite, 7-2, Tis Marvellous. Plenty of good quality group winning form. Tis Marvellous has got 9-2, came from the Dark Red Walker and Holly Doyle. 8-1, Arecibo. 17-2, Hurricane Ivor from 10s. Friend of Frank Hickey's is Hurricane Ivor. 9-1 Zarzini and double figure odds the remainder. And I'll go straight to you, Frank. Hurricane Ivor, you did tip that up a couple of times last year.
At Sandown, anyway, the day he
sort of won.
Heated, wasn't it?
Yeah, did it. But there was some controversy with the photo finish there. He actually won the race, but they called
it dead heat. He actually won, yeah. But the judge had backed the second and he went to some return. So he just called it dead heat.
That's look, Frank God from the pod now.
You have to fucking, you have to laugh, like you have to laugh a little bit. I'm giddy mood as well because I'm going to punch down.
Me too.
Came from the dark. I'd be very interested in him on his run on this last year. He was very unlucky when beaten a neck by Lazuli. but he can tend to need his first run back, and he hasn't been seen since his Group 3 win at Sandown last July. So that'll be enough. Ed Walker, he's had a winner this week, but he's made a slow enough start to the season as well. So all that combined probably turned me off him a little bit. Twilight Call bolted up here in handicap, absolutely bolted up off 94. He goes up in grade, he looks up to it. The only thing is he's 3-1 favourite. If you're 6 or 7-1, you take a chance. And it's not uncommon for horses to go from handicaps into group races and make that jump no problem with sprinters. But he's short enough for me. And the one I'm going to take a chance on is Kadem for Charlie Hills. He won the Stewards Cup back in 2019 off a mark of 107. And I think I wasn't the only one who thought he's an absolute certainty to win the Group 1 over 6 furlongs. He hasn't got that many times in the last few seasons. He was fourth in the 2020 July Cup on fast enough ground. He won a listed Doncaster sprint over 5 furlongs last year on fast ground. He was gelded before going to Maidan. I thought he ran really well when third by Man of Promise and Lazuli in a 6 furlong listed race dropped back to 5 for a Group 2 there. Bit disappointing. The interesting thing for me is he's won first to mount 2019. He was fourth in the Diamond Jubilee in 2020 on ground that was probably slow enough. He was just good to soft, I think. And that would have been soft enough. But I think if you remember back, he absolutely tanked into the race and didn't really get home from the furlong pole. Charlie Hill's been a really fast start to the season. He's operating at 25% for the season so far. I just thought with the ground going to be rattling, well, as fast as you're going to get it these days, I thought he was worth taking a chance on at about 12-1.
Exactly his price as we speak. Kadem for Frank. Ruby.
I'm going for one of the price as well. I'm going for the 4-year-old Atlas Bay. Robert Cowell, good record with sprinters. Was in really good form this time last year. Won at Nottingham. I know off a mark in 97 when it beat Burning Cash. Was second into Winter Power at York at the Dante meeting. No shame in that over 5 furlongs. She's very fast, we know that. And then won at Sandown when it beat Warrior Brave. Trained off a little bit in the summer, but it's a 4-year-old. Could have improved. Has a rating definitely to get involved in this race. So I'm going to go with Atlas Bay. Robert Cowell.
Lovely. Number 3 in the car, number 6 in the car, Kadem and Atlas Bay or Atlas Bay for the lads. Let's move on to the big one. It's the first classic of the season. It's the 2000 Guineas, 1 mile on the Rowley Mile. And I must say, I think we've got an absolute belter of a renewal. Native Trail, the odds on favourite, unbeaten, warmed up in the Craven, 10 to 11 at the time of recording. His stablemate, Coribus, makes a seasonal debut, but is drifting out to 5-1 from 9-2. You've got 5-1 for Luxembourg, also unbeaten for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Is he fast enough over a mile, or will he come into his own over longer trips? Perfect Power, the opposite. Is he a sprinter? 11-1, very impressive in his trial. Christoph Soumillon rides. You've got Point Lonsdale, Frankie de Torre rides. Remember, he's the number one of Ballydoyle, or was last season anyway, is 12-1. It's 18-1 for Aidan and 22-1 for others, including Jim Boulder's Boundless Ocean at 33s. Okay, Ruby Walsh, I'm pretty jiggy about this race, as you may well can tell. I think this is a brilliant, brilliant renewal. Odds on, no thanks, Native Trail, but he's looked very good.
Oh, how do you pause him? But odds on is right. In a race that looks so deep, I mean, like you look at horses that are outsiders, like Lucille is a 50-1 shot. That tells you the caliber of contest this is. Berkshire Shadow, who was a winner at Royal Ascot last year, is 66-1. This is a really deep race. There's no doubt about that. Luxembourg did win well at Doncaster in the old race and post trophy. Came home well to beat Sissoko on much different ground. Beat Manu at Corday at the Curragh, which is a good run over a mile as well. But when they're going a mile at 2, you kind of wonder, oh, are they going to be trip horses at 3? So that thought would definitely be in your head. I thought Point Lonsdale, to me, looked the best of Aidan's 2-year-olds all through last summer. Thought he was good at Ascot, came back and won at Leopardstown, won at the Curragh when he beat Maritime Wings, and there was no match for Native Trail in the National Stakes. Like, there's no doubt, I firmly believe Native Trail is the best horse, but at the prices, at 12-1, I'd be willing to chance Point Lonsdale each way.
Frankie to do it again. Frank Hickey.
I think it's very difficult to oppose Native Trail. He's one of those horses that you think, you know, maybe 2.5 furlongs out, oh, he might be in trouble. And next thing, he picks up and he ends up winning really easily. And like, you know, he smashed Point Lonsdale in the National Stakes. So impressive. Won the Dewhurst easily. In the Craven, again, he looked in a tiny spotted bother and he's won very easily. I just think he's a really good horse. I agree, the price isn't you know, isn't too appealing. But at the same time, he's a horse I wouldn't be overly keen to get stuck into, but I definitely wouldn't want to be standout best on him at bigger than even money either. You know, I actually just think he's going to win. It's going to be hard to beat him. My angle into the race, if I was having a bet with four places, you might kind of laugh at me, but I think Thackeray Bay might run into a place at a massive price. Richard Hannon's done it. He obviously won the Guineas with Knight of Thunder. This horse bite Knight of Thunder. Knight of Thunder won a 40-1 when he beat He beat the Abdullah horse in Australia, wasn't it?
Kingman? Did he beat Kingman?
Was it Kingman? Yeah, I think it was Kingman, wasn't it?
Our producer just said it was Kingman. He knows everything.
Yeah, it is Kingman, yeah. And he had King of Change come second in Magna Grecia's Guineas as well. I think he was 66-1 or 80-1. The Thackeray Bay, anyway, he won on debut at Haydock last year, had a break. Obviously, he hasn't been straightforward. Ran the Horse Hill at Newbury on soft ground. Yeah, it was proper soft ground. And he just did a little bit too much and got nailed late by Light Infantry and Cresta. I thought he shaped like the best horse in the race that day myself. He had Noble Truth back and forth. He'd been second in the Lagadaire a few weeks earlier. He was well backed then Thackeray Bay in the free handicap here a few weeks ago. Found New Science too strong, but it doesn't tell the whole story. He was very free again the first two or three furlongs, and just Noble Truth got away from him, maybe coming down the hill a bit. And to be fair, Thackeray Bay was sticking on again. I know he beat about two lengths, roughly two and a half lengths. I just feel he's the sort of horse when he gets a big field, and you know, you can bury him and maybe settle him, that he'll come home, you know, he'll come home well. And just as, like, it's as big as 100-1. I just think there's a chance he'll hit the frame. I really do.
Lovely. Okay, two at prices. Point Lonsdale, Frankie Dettori's mount. Remember, Frankie last year won a couple of classics for Ballydoyle with Mother Earth and Snowfall. Nearly said Snow Fairy. So Thackeray Bay for Frank for the Richard Hannon team. We do well with big prices. And Point Lonsdale for Ruby Walsh. I've had a sneak peek at Ryan Moore's column for the 2000 Guineas, and he does make a good mention of Point Lonsdale, I must say. He's pretty keen on that horse. He was a big fan as a two-year-old. Now, a couple of specials mentioned as by Frank there. You've four places each way online, so that gives you a good hope with those two each way pokes. But if you want to pop into a shop, I'm a great man for popping into the shops. Love a bit of retail. Money back all losers in the 2000 Guineas. That is a free bet if you walk in, open to everyone. Off you go. Nice little stroll on a Saturday afternoon, folks, and you get yourself a money back all loser race. Right, let's go to Thirsk for the Thirsk Hunt Cup, big race on ITV. Actually, do you remember who won the Thirsk Hunt Cup the day that Frankel won the 2000 Guineas, lads?
You're having a laugh, like.
Do you know who would know that?
Niall O'Reilly.
Rory DeLarge.
Rory DeLarge probably would. I think Farr won it that year. There you are now. Astro King is the 9-2 favourite for Sir Michael's.
You to remember.
I know, yeah. Don't worry. We're already in Punch's Town, Frank.
Too far back.
Very good. I didn't even get it was that bad. Astro King, who's a bit of a rogue for a lot of punters. He's been sent off short price, or relatively short price favourite, these big handicaps on numerous occasions, is the 9-2 favourite. Cruyff Turn and the colours of Paisley Park, who disappointed a Punch Town during the week, has been really well backed for Tim Eastman and David Allen. It's 9-1 into 11-2. 7-1 on a session, Frank Hickey, as we head to Punch's Town later, is 7-1. Trey Fleur, 7-1. 17-2, Dubai Love. That's been well backed. And 9-1 and bigger the rest. All right, Mr. Hickey, the Thirsk Hunt Cup.
I'm going to go with David O'Meara's horse, Pisanello.
Oh,
have I robbed it from Ruby?
You have.
Sorry about that. But this horse is running group races in France in 2020. He won at Lister level then. I switched David O'Meara at mid last year in July, struggling three runs for him. His mark dropped from 85 to 77. I was impressed with how he won at Beverly. He got an awful lot of trouble and was really strong in the finish to win going away. That was off of mark 77. He's up six here, but I think going back to, you know, what he was capable of running to in France, and now they found the key to him. I think 83 still probably underestimates him a bit. And yeah, he'd do for me. And again, he's a very fair price.
Number 12, Pisanello, 9-1 from 12, has been well backed. Extra place in the race. Ruby Walsh, anything to add?
Yeah, no, nothing to add really. Same horse as Frank. Like David, he moved to David O'Meara's on the 26th of July. He ran 10 days later. His first run for David O'Meara at Red Car. Disappointing run. That was in August. One more in September, one more in October. Got him dropped from 85 to 77. First run this season at Beverly. comes from last to win. I think, yeah, I think they've a bit of a job horse in their hands here, and I'm with Pissinello as well.
You would be shocked if he's raised 100 come the end of the year.
Like. No, you wouldn't.
I like it, lads. Pissinello 2 something in the Perscone Cup. Far did win. I don't think the same
thing. Yeah, that race just a piece of Pissinello, wasn't it?
Right, it's an over 18 pod, isn't it? Yeah, you only let listen to this after the watershed, folks. One race, a good one to talk about, the mile listed race at Cardiff. It's the Conqueror Filly Stakes. Primo Bazio is the 15-8 favorite. She's got a fair, well, gap between her in terms of ratings and the rest of the field. She's the 15-8 favorite. 11-4 is Zanbach. Almohandesa is my best effort at the pronunciation of the third favorite.
That's seven words, is it?
It was actually one.
But seven syllables, anyway.
Almohandesa. Yeah, number six.
That's a decent effort now.
Is the 4-1 third favorite. 13-2, Mrs. Fitzherbert. That's a bit easier. And 7-1 and bigger the rest. Ruby Walsh, the Conqueror Stakes, a good one.
I know. Hard. Yeah, I keep getting drawn back to Bastrakova. I thought she was good on her first couple of starts last year. Disappointing on her last start at Doncaster, over 10 furlongs at the back end of the season. I think maybe dropping back down to a mile, perhaps she didn't stay at Donny. I'd be willing to chance Bastrakova for William Haggis and the Cheveley Park stud colours.
Pretty decent. I say pretty decent. Up and down, punches down, let's call it. With Sir Gerhard and Alho for the Cheveley Park team. Frank?
Yeah, look, Sandbach is interesting, but she's only won a Kenton Maiden. I think she costs £450,000. So you'd be keeping an eye on her. And Maud, how did you pronounce it again?
Almohandesa.
Yeah, Almohandesa was second in El Gwynedd, but she was 28-1. She's getting a stone off the older horses here, but on ratings, you'd say she's a big chance, but I wouldn't fully trust it either. I think she was rated like 94 or something, 95 going into that in El Gwynedd. I just think Primo Bazio, if she's anywhere near her best, she'd be very difficult to beat, and it's probably a fair enough price. You go back to last year, she bolted up at York in a listed race. She beats subsequent Group 2 winner Creative Flair and Group 1 winner Snow Lantern, absolutely annihilated them. She was only beaten 1.5 lengths in the Falmouth when she was 5th, I think, and she was well beaten then in 2 Group 1s and a Group 2. So she has a little bit to prove, but she is dropping in grade here. And really, if she could hit that York form or Falmouth form, she'd be very, very difficult to beat. Like, you know, she'd be more like a slightly odds on shot, I think, if she was replicating, you know, if she had those maybe disappointing ones.
Primo Bazio for Frank. And do you know what that means, Frank?
No idea.
First kiss. How romantic. Right, we'll move on to Punchestown.
Do you remember your first one, PK, do you?
I do. And Clóiste d'Ara, around the back of the Irish College, around the back of the school. I think it went on for about 45 minutes.
PK, TMI.
No. I was going to say, we could have a blow-by-blow, but let's not get that far. I couldn't remember her name. She had a serious head of red hair. And yeah, back at Irish College, Clóiste d'Ara, great times. Here, you just tilt the neck and you just go at it for like 45 minutes. It made no sense. I was like, what is happening here? This is really confusing. Anyway, that was mine. Frank?
No, I was going to make a really, beyond the line joke, but I'm going to restrain myself.
For the first time. Okay.
I'll come in a lighter joke. On. I'll just say, the day I got married, PK.
Well done. No one's believing that. Let's go to Punchestown. The final day is the Saturday, and we have a couple of grade ones to look at and a few handicaps as well, where Frank really comes into his own. The first is the 3:10. No price at the time of recording. This is a near 4-mile handicap chase. The top weight is Augusta Gold for the connections of Willie Mullins, Paul Town, and same owner who had the winner with Royal Rendezvous earlier on in the week, who came right back to form. And I suppose Augusta Gold may need to. Annabelle Fly, Easy's Land, an interesting entrant here for John O'Neill. Keith Donoghue, he came back to his cross-country form a couple of seasons ago. What about Class Conti, Champagne Platinum, Plan of Attack? A lot of these we know. We've seen a fair bit this season. So, Ruby, just straight to you, because there are a few Willie Mullins horses in this.
Yeah, look, I've no doubt Paul's picked the right one. She overjumped and fell at the first in the Tiesto. Didn't fall, and Danny pulled her up really quickly. She was second to Rye Mag at Down Royal, which is probably a little disappointing, but she was actually travelling well in the Ancient National when she fell at Valentine's first time. She got into a good position, showed plenty of enthusiasm, and just overjumped and crumbled on her head at Valentine's. She seems well, triple suitor, and I would have no doubt of the Willie Mullins pair. Paul Townend is on the correct one.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, the way Willie's going this week, you'd be throwing up to take him on, but I did like the Dabbler. Look, he was pulled up at Fairy House the last time, but his record on decent ground in the main is pretty solid. You go back to the Porterstown in November, he was second, beaten three lengths by Smoking Gun. He's only £2 higher here. You've Owen Walsh taking off three. Also good ground. He won beginner's chases last August and a novice chase in October on good ground. And I really respect Liam Cusack. I think he's very shrewd. So the Dabbler, I think, run well. Not saying definitely going to win or anything, but I think he'd be there or thereabouts and he'd probably be a fair enough price.
Okay, doc. Right, keep an eye out for Augusta Gold and the Dabbler. Grade one action at 350. It's the Mayor's Champion Hurdle. It's 2.5 miles. And it sees Epatant, a rejuvenated Epatant after her very good second at Cheltenham, and her win at Aintree is the even money favourite. Tell me something, girl, 4-1. You got Marie's Rock, also rejuvenated, or at least maybe has put herself into the a little bit better than we thought category when winning at Cheltenham, 5-1, 8-1 Stormy Ireland. Mrs. Milner's 9-1. So you've got a bunch of Cheltenham winners, including Festival winners, Burning Victory, 12-1. Also 12-1, She Wears Well. That's been interestingly backed. We'll get Ruby's thoughts on She Wears It Well. It's halved in price, 25s into 12s. But before that, Frank, your thoughts on this Epatant, 10 minutes after Native Trail runs in the 2000 guineas. I can see that being a popular double.
Look, she has been back to, I would think, her best this season, really, with her run at Cheltenham. I think, look, she's obviously made a mistake at the last. She wasn't going to beat Honeysuckle, but I think she would have probably beaten a length and a half, 2 lengths, which to my mind is probably every bit as good as the performance she gave when she won the Champion Hurdle. I was very impressed with how she won at Aintree. I know Zanahir fell. I would have liked to see Zanahir stand up to see how much she would have won by, you know. He can get a better gauge for performance, but she was no doubt she was going to win. But at the prices, I just want to take her on, even though she is the most likely winner. And I think Stormy Ireland's a fair price each way here. I know Paul picks Burning Victory, but I'm hoping Danny'll kick out in front in Stormy Ireland, and I'm hoping that she'll see no other horse like she did last year. She was a 7-length winner last year. She's been second to Lorena and Benny DeJew here as well. He said 4 or 5 runs at Punchestown. She won 2, second to Benny, second to Lorena. So she likes it here. Decent ground. I'm not sure there's going to be that much opposition for the lead if Paul doesn't take her on. So yeah, I could see her going close.
Ruby Epatant, the even money favourite, but lots from the William Mullins yard, including, as Frank said, Stormy Ireland, who's got a very good record when D.E. Mullins rides her.
Yeah, Danny gets on great with her. And she ran respectable at Cheltenham. It was probably slowly run. Maybe didn't go her way, but I find it really hard to oppose Epatant. And I agree with Frank. I mean, she dead-heated in the Fighting Fifth. She won the Christmas Hurdle, second to Honeysuckle, bolted in an entry. 2.5 looked to really even probably suit her at entry. And I think she's very hard to oppose Epatant.
She's hard to oppose too, usually.
Yeah.
Let's hope she wins by the time this goes out, because we haven't seen her yet. But one assumes she has won. Right, 4.25. So Epatant for Ruby Walsh and Frank going for Stormy Ireland in the big Grade 1 mares. Before we have further Grade 1 action, we go back into Handicap Company, the Pat Taff Handicap Chase over 3 miles. Now, this will be a Money Back or Loser race in shops as well, and a busy day for Money Back or Loser races in shops. No top prizes at the time of recording. Phoenix Way tops the weight for Harry Fry in the JP colours. You got West Cork Wild Way for Frank Hickey. We'll be tipping up a bit of West Cork. Willie Mullins has got a few, including Recite a Prayer in the race with Danny riding in those JT colours. Or is that the only one for Willie, Ruby? I think it might be.
I think it is, yeah. Danny's obviously won the last twice, or won on Recite a Prayer at Wexford, and then rode him prior to that at Fairy House when he was second. But to be honest with you, PK, I like Donkey Ears. I think he's been banging on the door and getting closer. Second to Fakir Dalen at Thurles, third to Discordantly, who ran really well behind Royal Rendezvous in Leopardstown in March. Second to Deffy Blue at Fairy House on the 18th, Easter Sunday. Pulls out again 12 days later, but I think dry ground suits him, and I'd be with Donkey Ears here.
I missed one, Cavallino as well, in the Malcolm Denmark.
Yeah,
Jack Foley
probably wants a bit further.
Fair enough.
Even though it's 3 miles.
Donkey Ears, Frank Hickey, what do you fancy?
Yeah, I was kind of liking Cavallino. I thought getting on a bit of better ground might suit him being by presenting. I think the dam was related to Keith De La Rock, who was a Grade One winner as well, over 3 miles. Yeah, carrying 10 stone 7, a mark of 125 for his handicap debut, and that WP Mullins is doing okay this week as well.
Isn't he? Is he any winners?
He's a couple, isn't he?
All right, fair enough. And he'll get a few more, but by the time the week's out, what is the record? Did he have 18 or something, maybe, one year? Was it 19?
19 last year, was it?
19.
Phenomenal. It is.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. We'll see, it's going to be hard to get to that total this year, though, isn't it? Like, we were recording before racing on Friday. He had what? 3 and 4, 7 and 2 is 9. 10 in the last 2 days.
Wouldn't put it past the man. Can we include can we include the charity race? Does he have anything in that?
I don't think he has one.
I wouldn't be surprised if he threw something in late doors. Right, so that is the Pat Taff Handicap Chase Show for 4.25. Remember, if you pop into shops, money back or lose is free bet. Back to Grade One Company. It's the juvenile hurdle, the champion juvenile hurdle, the triumph of the festival, essentially. Vauban, wow, he was impressive at Cheltenham. He's the 1-2 favourite. Field Door, Ilete Tomp, 7-2 and 13-2, respectively. 16-1 HMS Seahorse and 20-1 Man of Work and 50-1 for John McConnell's In a Tom Do. Okay, Ruby, 1-2 Vauban, not exactly working man's price. Is there any reason that you think he's not going to win? I guess I'll start with.
I don't. The only possible way he could win is if it turned into an out-and-out test of stamina for Field Door. I don't see a horse in here that's going to go fast enough, that's going to drag Field Door to turn this race into an out-and-out test of stamina. Field Door himself needs to be dragged rather than forced for that to happen. So I just can't see it happening. And I think Vauban back at Punchestown, it'll really suit him. His jumping is improving every run. And I think he'd be very hard to beat, as his price reflects, PK.
Yeah, he is priced accordingly. Just a word on Ilete Tomp. You did fancy that this horse would run a big race in the Triumph, finished fifth in the end.
Yeah, it was way too keen. Probably stayed going well enough for the way it pulled, but I just think he's too much ground to make up with Vauban, and I wouldn't even be certain he'll get by Field Door this year.
Mm. What about those colours and keen horses? It just seems to be something in the water. We've obviously got the mare, the one he fancied.
Echoes and Rain, yeah.
Echoes and Rain as well. That just seems to be weird. Anyway, Frank, your thoughts on the Champion Juvenile?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to see him beaten. It was really impressive in the Triumph. The only thing I did notice is, when was the last time a horse followed up winning the Triumph, winning this? Just look at the last 10 years. I don't think, not every year the winner of the Triumph has come here, but yeah, you've had a few turned over. But like that at all, you'd be clinging to. He's been mightily impressive in his last two starts, so yeah.
All right, two votes for Vauban. Keep it simple. We chuck it in with Epatant and Native Trail for a little treble on a Saturday. Maybe. 5:30. One race I want to look at is the big handicap hurdle on the cards. 2.5 miles, 100 grand race. You've got the Shunter, Charlie O'Dwyer, riding. Would he come back to form? He's the top weight in the race. But again, there's some horses here who ran early on during the week, including the Very Man. I'm not sure if that'll run again. Irascible came right back to form. And remember, you, Ruby, mentioned that before. He won last night. Rachel Blackmore, I think, went down to Limerick or something to ride him.
Yeah,
he'd be cashback. Yeah, that was eye-catching. Look, you've got Adamantly Chosen, who probably his best run was this festival last year, winning the Goss Land Rover Bumper. Certainly most valuable run.
Yeah, it definitely was. Look, Willie's a host of them in here, PK. The first one up is 5 o'clock. First run in ages was at the Cheltenham Festival. In 2 years was 18 behind Banbridge. Really needs to step forward on that. Probably hard to see. Then you have Adamantly Chosen, who was too keen behind Banbridge in the Martin Pipe. If he can settle better, he'd have a chance. Paul picks him. I wouldn't be surprised if he needs to come down in trip, though. Maybe not as slow as we think. Berkshire Royal had a good run on Turles behind the Goffer, but was disappointing in Fairy House behind Braun. I think the Prima Donna is probably the one for me. Her best run was at Fairy House behind Glan in the 2 mile handicap hurdle. That was a cracking run, but she's by Saint Desant and she's out of Princess d'Anjou. Princess d'Anjou won 2, if not 3 Grand Steeps to Paris. They're over 3 miles and 6 furlongs, so this mare has a real stamina pedigree. So I think going out a half a mile would really suit La Prima Donna. Haya was just behind her at Fairy House. Glan won, the Prima Donna was second, Haya was third. Brian Hayes rides. I think up in trip would really suit La Prima Donna. My Lighthouse wants to go this distance. She's dropping in grade after being pulled up behind Brandy Love, but needs to bounce back to her best. And Bell Metal is the first reserve. She's ultimately been disappointed and I think wants soft ground.
You hear that, Frank? You listening to that?
Of course I was listening.
Good man. Okay, so for my ears, it sounds like the Brian Cooper mount is possibly the one of the Willie Mullins contingent La Prima Donna. Your thoughts, Frank?
Yeah, she is very interesting, but there's two in here that ran in the Carl Cup that probably appealed to me. First is Fast and Slow for Martin Brazel. He's a very good strike rate at the Punchestown Festival. This was well-supported anti-post for the Carl Cup, and you're kind of looking at going, struggling to see it, but, you know, he'd finished 10th of 18 behind Bride's Hill at Christmas, and then he finished midfield in the Liffey Handicap Hurdle, and you're like, you know, you respect the connections, but at the same time, you're like, you know, it's tough to see that this is going to go close, and he's ran an absolute belter, just touched off by Commander Fleet. And while he went into that, I think, with an Irish rating of 138, I think, he's up to 144 here, but they have Rob James taking 7 off, which I think is very, you know, a very good move. He's excellent. I think he has to go close, have to give him a big chance. And then the other one that I think has to go close is Camprond for Philip Hobbs. He ran a cracker. He was a massive eye catcher in the Great Wood, where he was ridden quite prominently, and he was on the inside that day coming up the straight when the horse of finish in front of him all came up the rail. And, you know, a lot of the shrewd judges were on him for the Carl Cup, and the rain came and the ground went against him. He wants good ground. I still can't believe he finished fourth, considering that ground would have been all wrong for him. He ran off a mark of 140 in that Carl Cup. He runs here off a mark of 137. He has to be involved. Adamantly Chosen's one, I think, I'd agree with Ruby. Down to 2 miles, you'd be very interested in him in the handicap hurdle. He travelled well for a long way in the Martin Pipe. But for me, Camprond and Fast or Slow against the field.
Three against the field for you folks. You got La Prima Donna, Fast or Slow, and Camprond. Fast or Slow is well named, given his form figures, Frank. Second, first, second, zero, zero, second.
Yeah, he was second last year in the Louis Fitzgerald hurdle to lifetime ambition. So
okay.
Lifetime ambition while well behind Capitano in the grade one the other day as well. So
lovely. Okay, that is Saturday covered. We're going to take a very quick break, have a look ahead to the 1,000 guineas. But before we do that, I want to get your naps on Saturday, folks, because we have to digest, really, the Sunday action. So best bet on Saturday, please, Ruby Walsh.
It's Sinello, the Tursk.
Yeah, he stole it off you. He absolutely dropped Frank Hickey there.
Go on, let's just go double nap, Pisanello.
Pisanello, double nap in the.
Pisanello.
Remember, I said at the top of the show, what a great Saturday race we've got. The 2,000 guineas at Newmarket. We've got brilliant Grade One action of Punchestown, and the two lads head to Thirsk for the Hunt Cup.
Go on, if people want to double, I'll put up moving time in the 2:25 Newmarket.
Okay, you're changing that. Moving time.
If people want to double, Epitant and Vauban.
Epitant Vauban. I mean, you can stick in Native Trail for your travel. Anyway, right.
Do you like Native Trail, PK? Do you?
I know. I don't like the price. I'm the exact same as yourself. I think he's an absolute monster of a horse, but I 10 to 11. We've seen this before with, you know.
But the only thing is, like, I know you had Pinatubo was obviously the most recent example. But the difference is Native Trail has had a run. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he's no Air Force Blue, is he? You know, no. Like that sort of stuff. It's fair. It's fair. Like that's why he's priced accordingly. Well, let's come back. We'll take a quick break. We're back, have a look at the 1,000 guineas as well. See if we can find the winner. That Aidan O'Brien usually wins it. Back in a second.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
A very important message, Frank Hickey, on a very busy weekend of racing, as always. It is an important message. It is. I know I jest sometimes when Frank does as well, but it very much is. It should be fun, folks. Keep it fun. Okay, the 1,000 guineas declarations have literally just landed as we record on Friday. So we have a field of 14 running in the race. We're operating without prices, but Frank, you would have had a fair idea what the prices were prior to those coming out. The two that came out at the last stage were Toy and, as expected, Homeless Songs. So Frank, I'm going to start with you. Tenebrism Unbeaten, we assume Ryan Moore ride Tuesday, looked a very interesting maiden winner. You got Wild Beauty for the powerful Godolphin team. Where are you looking though?
Yeah, you have Tuesday drawn in 4, Tenebrism drawn in 5, Discovery's drawn in 6, Malavat drawn 7, so you have a lot of the fancied horses in with each other. I suppose my way of looking at this race is I think Tenebrism's a sprinter. I'm pretty certain she's a sprinter. When you look at her striding and the rest of it, I'd be very concerned about her getting a mile, personally. I know Immortal Verse, she won a Coronation Stakes, didn't she, at Royal Ascot, if I remember right. Maybe I'm wrong. Caravaggio, she's by Caravaggio. Yeah, by Caravaggio. So I'd be pretty sure she's a sprinter and she's the head of the market, so I think she's worth taking on. I think of the ones at the top of the market, I think Discoveries is the most solid, personally. She won the Moyglare last year at the Curragh. She beat Tuesday in the Maiden. She did disappoint at the Curragh a little bit, went third as 4-1 joint favourite in the Debutant Stakes. That was on soft ground. She's obviously from that, you know, unbelievable family, you know, Albigna and Alpine Star. And to be fair to her, she probably nearly has achieved, or Alpha Centauri as well, obviously, she's nearly achieved more than them as a 2-year-old. So if she makes the progression from 2 to 3 that they did, she could be very tough to beat. But at the prices, and this is a bit of, you know, my reasoning might be completely wrong here, but Inspire was obviously Antipost's favourite over the winter, and it was looking like she was going to be, like, I would have guessed somewhere between 5-4 and 13-8 favourite for this, I thought. And obviously she met with a setback. It isn't running now. But there's one in here that finished second to her twice, and 20-1, and that's Prosperous Voyage for Rafe Beckett. Even on ratings, she's like Tenebrism heads the ratings on 115. You've the two French horses, Malavat and Zelle, on 113. Discoveries and Wild Beauty on 111, and she's 110. Like she's by Zoffany, so I have small concern of maybe she might want a little bit of dig. But she did win at Epsom in a Maiden. She doesn't win in Huff a lot, to be fair, but I thought she was unlucky in the Prestige Stakes, sorry, at Goodwood, when she was third by Michon Sen. She's no tactical pace. She takes a while to wind up, and then she flies home, kind of. And that day at Goodwood, she hit a flat spot, met trouble, then pulled out and stayed on strong. She finished third. I think with a clear run, she would have gone very close. She then finished second to Inspire in the May Hill, beaten 3¾ lengths, and she was then beaten 2½ lengths in the Filly's Mile. In the Filly's Mile, she actually had to make the running, and I don't think that suited her. When they quickened, 2 or 3 went by her, and then she stayed on again to finish second. I just think if there's a good pace here and something give her a lead, I think she'll come home very strongly. And my reason again is, like, if Inspired was in here and roughly around a 6-4 shot, and you were saying something was going to finish within 2½ lengths, where you think she'd be finishing, you know, pretty close to place at least, and therefore Prosperous Voyage shouldn't be 20-1 in my
opinion. Nice case made at an E-Trade price for Prosperous Voyage. Again, I mentioned, if you pop into a shop, it's a free bet in this race. The money back or loses again for the 1,000 guineas for shop punters. Right, Ruby, you've had plenty of time to digest the declarations with Frank giving us every bit of form of Prosperous Voyage. So where have you landed?
I was with Discoveries all along, and I've been looking through for something different. Maybe the Andre Fab runner with Tom Marcan taking the ride, just because it's Andre Fab, really, more than anything else. You'd have to respect him coming to the Newmarket with Zelly, but it is Discoveries, and its pedigree, it's how much the family improved from 2 to 3, both Alpha Centauri and Alpine Star, and there's no reason to suggest that Discoveries can't do the same thing. And if she does, I think she's the best filly.
There you go, 2 votes, one for Discoveries. And to be fair, Frank did say Discoveries probably the one to beat, but at the price is Prosperous Voyage.
I actually think Discoveries is a fair price because, again, as I said, Tenebrism heads the market.
Yeah.
The last time we'd priced, I think she was about 5-2, and I'm pretty sure she's a sprinter. Fair enough. Therefore, like, yeah, if you like something else behind it, and yeah, okay. Discoveries is definitely the most solid, but just... Yeah, my point with Prosperous Voyage is I think 20s is too big, considering she ran up behind Inspiral twice, who would be very sure she's running here.
Slight concern was Alpha Centauri took a run as a 3-year-old early in the season. You didn't see Alpine Star until Royal Ascot, which was in June. So if it's a family that does take a bit of getting fit, that could be a slight concern for Discoveries.
What stage did she make a 2-year-old if you click on her form here to see she ran in June? That was her first run as well, which backs that up, I suppose. She wasn't an early 2-year-old, I guess, albeit the 3rd of June.
No, yeah, no, no. But just
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a good shout, Ruby. Yes, I'll be whatever she does, she may well come on for it regardless. So really, really good 1,000 guineas. Two very good guineas, I think it's fair to say, this weekend. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your, well, Ruby in particular, your help this week, as you've been with me nearly every day. Frank, thanks for popping back
poor
in.
Frank, that just wasn't lying in bed or anything.
No, I'm not saying
very,
it was.
Very busy.
Very busy. Good man. We're going to be busy again next week, folks, because Chester's live on ITV. So we're going to have a few bonus podcasts landing again in your eardrums next week. You're going to have to listen out for those. Maybe even a new guest as well.
I have some really good stats for Chester. Drawn low in the 5 furlong sprint track.
Shit, that's some seriously outside the box thinking
that
there.
That should
from
move to market now, that info.
And I tell you what, watch out for non-runners if you're drawn wide. There'll be a few of those. Lads, enjoy the weekend. It's going to be a cracking... It's a bank holiday weekend, isn't it? I'm working all weekend.
It is, yeah.
God. It's a very long bank holiday weekend in Kildare. It starts today.
It does. I tell you what, if you are in... Oh, okay, no, this will come out after. Me and Frank and Ruby are all going to punch the same. Me and Frank, we'll be actually messing. Ruby, you're probably on RTV, are you again?
RTE this afternoon.
Very good. Well, you keep Jane Mangan and Hugh Cahill and your dad honest. It was great. Hugh Cahill went straight to your dad yesterday and said, geez, Alaho was amazing, wasn't he? I was all right. he basically, in a classic Ted style, he's like, all the other horses ran terrible races. I was like, well, they didn't all run dead.
My reading of the race would be Alaho put them all under pressure and they couldn't cope.
That's kind of what Hugh Calford was trying to say, but Ted was like, they all ran stink behind. He was grand.
I saw it slightly like that, but like Frank too, in that the horse with 2.5 mile speed put older, slower horses out of their comfort zone. And when you make horses go as fast as they can early in a race, even if you don't stay, you will outstay them. And that's what happened. Yeah.
Frank, you weren't there, or I don't know if you were there. I was there, and after the line, I'd say it took Paul 10 yards to pull up Alaho.
And when you go by the line in Punchestown, you actually run severely downhill.
Yeah,
and he still pulled up.
Yeah, he pulled up
I thought Classical empty. Dreams Petrol Gauge was fairly empty when he hit the line yesterday too.
Oh, I was kind of thinking, if they try to get him off a little bit earlier.
I thought there was some great rides from Paul Town in there.
He's had a decent week. Gentlemen, we'll be back next week for Chester. Multiple podcasts landing in eardrums. Keep an eye for it. Thank you very much for all your work this week. Looking forward to seeing how the naps go. And they all hopefully piss a Bella in. All right. Until next time, folks. See you next week.